Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slain. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Still a couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres. Take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of how your back have you beat and lost your mind, especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign, SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. This phone call cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
You know the black freedom movement, constitution, moral conscience. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation. Even as that nation been trying to render us soulless, to wear our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the bloodstained banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America,
are you ready, America, for another exciting podcast, the hottest podcast in the nation and in the world, on the planet? Dr. Mary Lee Live talking about saving our babies. The music you heard in the background was by Dr. Cornell West on Hidden Beach Records. First rapper was I Riz the Moment, followed by Rod Digger, Black Thought. And, of course, Dr. Cornell West, music produced by Corey Coaching Tatum. Dr. Tatum, and I'm going to be introducing our host of the show, Dr. Mary Lee Live. Dr. Mary Lee, and hopefully we'll be hearing from the co-host, Dr. James Cannon, the father of entertainer Nick Cannon. Dr. Mary Lee, you're live.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tatum. Certainly appreciate you. And welcome all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're here again to, we're talking about the saving our babies. You know, there's so much going on in our country with our children, and they're being affected, you know, affected in so many different ways. No, and really many times don't have a voice. And so we welcome you tonight. We're giving them a voice right here on our platform. So we're asking each one of you to remember, just tap one on your phone to join us, and we will open up your line. Okay, so we are ready to go, and we are looking for certain people right now. I'm going to ask Dr. Mindfries and Dr. Boyles, whom I see here, to kind of recap, you know, for our listening audience, what has transpired over the past few weeks. We do have quite a few new listeners on, and with your being a part of the medical and psychological teams here, I think it would be very befitting for you to kind of some of your own words, what's been going on, and our approach, and just your position tonight on regarding saving our babies. And this is part four. We'll start with Dr. Mindfries. And thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about saving our babies. I'm an internist and a pediatrician by training here in Detroit, Michigan, and our babies are in trouble. This program has given us the opportunity to hear from some of our babies who are actually young adolescents, teenagers, and some who are actually in K through 12, sharing their stories of their challenges that they faced and their triumphs. And I have just been amazed at the journey that our young people have taken thus far in their early young lives. We've talked about possible interventions that can occur to help our babies so that they don't get caught up in our legal system and become trapped there as babies for the rest of their lives. We talked about understanding why our kids do what they do and the unfair punishments that are levied on them. So this has just been an eye-opening experience for me, I'm looking forward to hearing from the rest of, from some more of our babies, our children, our young people. And I look forward to them understanding that our job is to protect them, not to buy into the system. Thank you.
And thank you so very much. Dr. Bowles, welcome.
Well, good evening. This is Velva Bowles speaking. I, too, have my primary care training in internal medicine and pediatrics and had a pediatric internal medicine clinic for several years. I think that first or second presentation I shared how the public school system in the United States has miserably failed Black children. And I slowed down the set because I hope the parents are listening. What I have observed from the point of view of a pediatrician, that parents, Black parents in America appear to feel that when children go to school, they're turning them over to someone equally able to care for them and who have the same level of, I guess it's a sense of caring about the child's well-being. And what I found and I've been told by elders that this is post-integration, that that belief may have been true when Black people were in charge of the education of Black children. But what I have observed and refused to participate is a type of extortion. That when I was in pediatrics, I had a number of times principals of public school, middle school, where they would call me and give me a list of children that they had determined, they being the teaching or the educational establishment, had determined needed Ritalin or Adderall. And for those of you who don't know, those are drugs. I call them medical handcuffs. And when I did pushback, asking the principal who had evaluated children, if they'd gone through what is required medically, a three-step process to have a diagnosis requiring such medications, I was told, well, you're going to cause a parent to lose their job because this child keeps getting in trouble and this parent's an hourly worker and they can't afford not to be at work. I call that extortion. So although as a one person can't stand against the establishment, I have to report that public school targets and have been very successful in getting medication, particularly young Black boys, because I call them medical handcuffs, that if the teacher does not know how to voice control a child or the child is not immediately compliant, they can label them ADHD, ODD, and in Louisiana, they passed out letters, which unfortunately many Black parents find, that said if two or more teachers identify a child as disruptive and that this child prevents other children from learning, they can be declared special education. Now, this is the part that got me. Special education where this child, quite frankly, was being removed from academic teaching. Special education, unless you have an IEP, you're simply a placeholder. You go in a room and you wait till the bell rings and you go to the next room and the next room. And too many of our young people, as soon as second and third grade, are relegated to a non-educational holding system. And in Louisiana, it said that if you do not pass the standardized test, I think they refer to as IEP, not IEP, the elite test in Louisiana, by fourth grade, they can predict how many prisons to build in the state of Louisiana because that person is very likely to be a dropout. And without education, they expect them to be a delinquent, and then it becomes a problem with the Department of Justice. So my comment is to say I've been in the system long enough to see the errors, know the traps and pitfalls, and I cannot report that neither the Black communities, Black leaders, or those who you would think are in position who can exert power have tried to intervene on this most tragic pipeline. So I have learned a lot attending these presentations, and I think today's children, particularly our young Black children, are more savvy. They have a sense of understanding of complex issues more rapidly, and that's both a blessing and I think a curse because their sensitivities are heightened. We used to call it innocence. And I see so many children at such tender ages who have very little innocence left. So that's my comment. Okay.
And thank you so much. And I totally, completely agree with you and would like to come back and talk about it later on, what you term extortion and handcuffs, seeing that also, you know, so much over the years, and I've been very, very, very disappointed about it. I've always fought it, and I mean, always. And so I certainly appreciate your position, and I'm completely in agreement with you. We're going to go on to Dr.'s lungs. But we're going to come back to Dr. Long's. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties here. Okay, Dr. Long's, I believe you are live.
Hi, good afternoon. I mean, good evening to everyone. Detroit time, we are 9:30. Again, Dr. Mary Lee, appreciate the invite and look forward to some very interesting conversation with our youth. In terms of my summary of what we're trying to do and accomplish as we answer the topic of saving our babies, of course, my presentation would be, what time frame or what ages do we use when we say our babies? Of course, any person with a child, your child is always your baby. And a lot of times, we would like to intervene when our, quote, babies are grown, particularly when they're heading down a path in which, for whatever reason, they don't want to see or they can't see. They're blinded by various emotions such as love, et cetera. I'm a child, adolescent, adult, psychiatrist that I'd say I'm doing the majority of my work is in the forensic arena, particularly with my role as the mental health director of the Wayne County Juvenile Detention Facility in downtown Detroit. It is the largest detention facility in the state of Michigan, and just because it's in Wayne County, we also service youth from Oakland County, Macomb County. A lot of kids wind up coming down there because of the lack of residential treatments and various mental health facilities. Tonight I want to focus on what appears to be a stage of development in which we've all had to travel down, known as adolescence, and all the different things that occur during that time. I'm going to preface by saying that, I've mentioned some of the youth we encounter downtown, and this week was quite disturbing. I'm always saying the week is quite disturbing, but this was the first time I actually listened in and watched a hearing involving two of our young people downtown who have been charged as adults. Although they're juvenile, and it was just interesting seeing the environment with all these adults, which would include the judge, prosecutors. When I say prosecutors, I mean more than one, defense attorneys, parents sitting in the back, and you see these two kids and the jumpers that our agency furnished, and in which they are transported from the sheriff's department to the adult court. We've touched on with Judge McCree as well as the other judge, Cannon, from, I believe, Louisiana, in terms of what all that means and how can a kid be charged as an adult. But tonight we were hoping to focus on some of the relationships that our babies get into from the stage of adolescence, which the clinicians on the panel and even in general, adults realize that, that's sort of a tug of war between a person searching for their true identity based on spiritual beliefs, historical beliefs, et cetera, which we've mentioned numerous times on the show. And that has been highlighted by a lot of our young people, particularly Michael Tynes and others, versus this diffusion into various identities, including gangs, different sort of relationships that lead to, unfortunately, that lead to our facility downtown. So I'm hoping that one of the young men that I've been counted who kind of prompt this week's discussion is on board to describe some situations that he's found himself in, and that others can also offer their opinions in terms of these relationships. Hopefully the young people can give advice to each other, and we as, quote, elders, as Dr. Kynes has mentioned, just get out of the way.
Thank you so much. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. It might have been a mistake that I was unmuted, and if it was, I'm sorry for interrupting. You can mute me after I ask my question. But I do have to ask, from what you said, I've been listening, and you're placing a lot of responsibility on young people to reach out to the other young people and try to solve the problems. When it comes to the Black community, it seems to me the failure is the elders, is the adults, is the mothers who, want to have multiple baby daddies, is the dads who don't want to be present. There's nothing more damaging.
Can you identify yourself, sir, please?
Oh, yeah. My name is Zachary. I was calling to listen in. But why so much responsibility on the young people when, it's the fault of the parents? Kids don't raise themselves. And the most damaging thing, especially a boy can have, is to not have a dad. That's the problem. The Black community's problem is the Black community and the men within it. And before you want to attack anybody else, you have to search within yourself. So, it's funny to me that you want to preach about, how we have to save young Black people. We have to save our babies. But there's no responsibility to Black men who are having these babies. The reason the white community is better off than the Black community is because white men stick around for their children. And we can see that's the issue, because when you look in poor areas like Appalachia and things like that, they have the same issue. They don't have dads. It's nigger activity. When you act like a nigger in your community is embracing that, you have shitty children.
Dr. Kynes, you can feel free to interject anytime. Or any of our men on the line here. Any of our men, you're free, our Black men.
Hi, this is Dr. Kynes. Okay. So, number one, because young man is just coming on board, he didn't realize that what we're saying.
It's a doctor. Probably, instead of addressing what I'm going to say, if you bring up the fact I said nigger before addressing what I actually brought up.
No. You're not going there, young man. So we're going to do it like this. So this is Dr. Kynes. So this whole program is called Saving Our Babies, which is saving our infants, saving our children, and saving our teens. So that's where we're going. And we're opening up. No, this is not a dialogue. Right now I'm presenting. So you present and now I present. That's
niggers,
how this format is done.
Niggers not know what a democracy is. Go figure.
Okay,
so
young man, so what you got to do is, how we do this is that we have different, everybody takes a turn presenting. It's not going back and forth. Yeah. It's not that kind of chaos.
You tell me how it's.
Otherwise, young man, we have to mute you and cut you off. You either. All right. Thank you. So what we're here for is to, one, again, save our infants, save our children, save our teens. And we started off that program with exposing the fact that we adults have failed the children, because that was not our primary focus. And we also stated that all the efforts now by all the politicians, all the community leaders, et cetera, have not been in saving the infants, have not been in saving the children, have not been in saving the teens, and that this has been a concerted effort that has been pushed upon the African-American community by the training of every African-American community. And every single African-American on this phone and every single African-American in America has been affected by the post-traumatic slave disorder. So everyone is mentally ill because of living in America, being exposed to this media. There's not any exceptions. Even in the conscious group, you got 2% of the African-American community probably labeled as conscious, but the 1% still acts like house Negroes once they get a bit exposed to monies, and the other ones mainly talk but don't do actions, who have the knowledge base. So we're changing that. We're giving the youth a voice to speak in their reality what's going on right now. And we as adults came on the earlier programs that we didn't step up when we had the African Senate format program going forth, KRS-One with Boogie Down Production, Public Enemy, X-Clan, all of these things that were positive when we were African-centered moving forward with the headed for self-destruction, the adults did not do anything, and we took over from when they were doing nanny goats and they were going gold chains, all of that, and then the European system here retaliated back. Everything that we are doing in response is a result of what has been placed upon us and limited to us because the leaders that were African-centered, the leaders that were pro-family, it's not about being pro-women. It's not being about being pro-black man. It's about being pro-family. The black woman is guilty of her crime of not supporting her black man. The man is, black man is guilty of being of not supporting the black woman. And both are guilty of not supporting the black family. The issue is not individual. It's about the family. What we know from Dr. Claude Anderson from before, that brainwashing is taking a group construct or a group mindset or group unity and reversing it and making it individualistic. That the group becomes individualistic, that is brainwashing. Taking a unit, a military unit, make each soldier starts to look out for themselves and get little trinkets or little rewards so that they snitch or they go against the others. That's what's happened to the African-American community. We know about the Willie Lynch that was ingrained, and that took several years. So, no, this is a planned process, and our leaders are not the leaders of the grassroots. What happened in the 70s, the grassroots got us to this point, and then we turned it over to the black middle class at that time, who were supposed to take it home and solidify, but they actually tried to take us back to the plantation. And our every single politician, now we got there's 50 slots up for Congress. Some of those individuals have been there 20, 30 years, and the state of black America is worse underneath them. Even the current lynching bill was written by whites and watered down, so it only doesn't really do anything to protect lynching. What America doesn't realize is that every year and every is that there are lynchings throughout the year that the FBI keeps statistics on, and black males are lynched every year to bring in the new year. Also, the George Floyd bill, they've watered that down not to even really address the police issues or not about defunding the police, but eliminating or changing qualified immunity. So blacks are not even doing that. Blacks did not even write the Civil Rights Bill. So we are not going out on a limb to really change anything. The guy, Bobby Rush, who was a former Black Panther, who brought the lynching bill together, he's health-wise on his last leg. I mean, that's why he did that. But Cory Booker and all those people, they are not doing anything because they are playing politics, which is politics, which is many tricks. They are trying to get along to go along, and what has to happen now is that we have to have a new mindset, a new construct, and what Dr. Balls, who you heard earlier on the program, had pointed out historically, that the movement has never really came from the elders, because the scripture teaches you that we are for counsel and that the young are for war, and what we saw is that young Dr. Martin Luther King went against the old-timers and pushed the civil rights movement. SNCC, Stokely Carmichael pushed the civil rights movement. Malcolm pushed the human rights movement. That it was a youth movement, and that's what's going to happen now, that the youth have to be educated. They have to know their history so they know their greatness, so they have a foundation to stand on, and not the nigger attitudes that have been pushed down in the media that way. Thank you.
Dr. Kynes, can you tell us why the primary reason that the black man is absent?
First of all, no one can attack a black man. No one can attack a man who's been victimized at war for over 400 years. Now, what you have to understand, but it even goes back further. Now, when we look at Kemet, which is also called Egypt, or Ptahmeti Kemet, or which is called Egyptus, or whatever you want to call it, it goes back to the Hegira in 640 A.D. when you have the Arab come into Africa, North Africa, they could not defeat the Egyptian. So what they did is what the Europeans are doing, and what you're seeing now with even a young lady running for the Supreme Court, what they did is they attacked the black woman. and they attacked the black woman by marrying to the black woman, and the woman marrying these, what Dr. John Henry Clark called, and producing these black bastard children. That's Dr. John Henry Clark, that the Arab came in, married into the African, and then several hundred years later, they started the Arab slave trade, which is still in effect in 2022. The Arabs never stopped the slave trade. That is continuing in Arab countries, also in Indian countries. That is still present today. In America, yes, we may have pushed back and changed the dynamics of it, but the Constitution states that if you are in prison, then you are a slave if you are an African-American, because an African-American, a descendant of enslaved African, is only three-fifths human according to the Constitution. Right now, everybody on this phone who is black is three-fifths a human being, whether you like it or not. You can intellectualize all you want, but that is a legal reality. The Dred Scott decision is a legal reality that a white man don't have to care a damn thing what you feel, think, or say. And you have been conditioned when you're going to try to follow the European construct of how to make things happen. That means that's the whiteness coming out in you. So that attack to the black man was to destabilize him. Whites picked up on that. That's why you have buck breaking, and to try to have the black men walking around with their pants down to show that they have been sodomized by the white slave masters. That's why the black women have been attacked to be married to white men, and also to show that the black man could not be supporting them. And then you have, still with all of that, going into the 1958, you have 75% of all black households, all Negro households, were married, husband and wife. In 1958, going into the 60s, you had the households were all married who were 75%, where in the white community it was only 50%. Then what happened is you had Negroes, intellectual Negroes, joining in and creating single-family homes where women and children were only allowed, and the husbands had to go into these halfway homes and spend time with their family on the weekends. So there's been a concerted effort to make sure that the black man is not in the household, been a concerted effort to make sure that the black man is redirected towards prisons instead of education, because Juwanza Kanjufu showed the countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys. In that book and his research, it showed that the black boys were geniuses going up into the third to fourth grade, and then they dummy down when they were victimized. And Jonathan Kozol's book, Death at an Early Age, shows that the attack is on the black male, the black boy, to try to destroy him, because the black boy will become a black man who can become a black husband and create a black family. So everything is to make them faggots, to make them homosexuals, because homosexuals cannot reproduce. They can only recruit, and they cannot produce a black family, whether that's on the lesbian side or on a male side. So everything is to destabilize, to destroy the black man, period. And that's what the attack is. That is what you're going to see, and no one is talking about black family. But when you focus on the black family, that's bringing the woman and the man together at the table, and that's how you protect the infants, the children, and the teens, because now they're taking our teens and trying them as adults. So, and if you look at our population, we're decreasing in population size, but we're also increasing in police deaths again. That all that George Floyd stuff was a vague memory. And remember, the United States did not know there was a problem with George Floyd's murder until the rest of the world emphasized it to the United States. And the United States was even condemned by its own United Nations for its police brutality, for its racism. And that's why racism now is a systemic, is considered a public health threat to be black. It's a public health threat against your life to be black. But no black leaders want to speak up and take on it. And young people are not even aware, even paying attention of the struggle that the elders are going on to fight for them and to protect them. That's why we have this dialogue, so you become aware of what we're doing, those who are in this community trying to fight, and then you step up, become educated into this fight, and then we have a dialogue that's mutually exclusive that protects us, and we're not trying to help any other race, any other ethnic group, any other issue, period, except building and reuniting the black family.
Okay, thank you so very much. And you did get to the point that I wanted you to regarding the comment that was made by this particular troll. Dr. Merrily, may I speak? Yes,
can
Dr.
I be heard?
This is Dr. Moncrief,
yeah.
And I know you asked for a male perspective. But I just
go ahead.
And then we'll let Zach talk again. I just want to let Zach realize that that black men are taking care of black children, okay? Not all black men are, but the statistics are just not correct. The black male loves his children. There's always some exceptions. But the black male tries to protect and raise his children even if he can't stay with the mother. It's a myth for us to stereotype that black males don't want to be in the home, don't want to raise their children. That's simply not true. And it's a myth that black women want to be the head of the family, want to run everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those are myths that the white man has put in our communities to keep us fighting each other. The N-word that you wanted to use tonight, thank you, Dr. Times, for not getting into that, because that's a distractor from what the issues are. And I want to say one more thing. The thing that's the number one story on our media today is Will Smith hitting Chris Rock. Never should have happened. That's a bad message to send to our black children. And by Will Smith apologizing, that's okay, but that does not solve the damage that he's done by doing that. Black people have to stop reacting the way that we see people do on TV. That's not real life. When somebody says something that you don't like, you don't slap them. You try to figure out how to get that person to respond in a different way. I love the way Chris Rock responded. He didn't respond by fighting back. He took his time. He thought about it. Today, he's 3, 4, 5 times richer by not fighting back. And that's the lesson that I want to see our young people do, to learn. Male, female, our black males, they do stand up for us. Zach, you're standing up for us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
May I enter? This is Dr. Bowles.
Yes.
Two things. I always enjoy hearing Dr. Times present, and thank you so much for the emotional response, Dr. Moncrief. I also felt it when I was hearing this person using terms known to be inflammatory and almost appearing to want to provoke some kind of negative response.
No, it strictly was intentional. He's a white troll.
It was clear
that
this wasn't.
Better present, Dr. Bleak.
Yeah. Okay, but I just wanted
and
to know.
And it wasn't contributing to anything positive in this conversation. But what I wanted to say, when I saw all of the excitement over the Will Smith reaction, we have to all of us step back. Nothing was said that wasn't written on a monitor. I don't know who writes the script that people read while they're standing on stages at various award ceremonies. I don't think that was an extemporized comment coming from Chris. And if it were all stylized and being presented, I look at both parts. I can't see violence being the answer. But if I was Chris and put in that position, I wouldn't just read what's on the prompter. There should have been, in my opinion, some judgment made as to how appropriate he would have decided such comments would be. So I don't really get all excited about the physicality of Will Smith, though I don't condone it. I also question the judgment of someone who's reading a prompter. I mean, if you were going to be an extemporaneous speaker, I've been faced with some awkward situations where I have to search really quick and land on my feet and still be diplomatic. And I didn't see any attempt on his part to do such a thing. I would be questioning how willing I am to make anything sounding derogatory or demeaning, whether someone's wife or not. I mean, you're talking about a black female professional.
Dr. Lee, One thing I have to chime in on, we have to take a historical perspective on this too. And this is not going to be nice for what I'm getting ready to say. The one thing that we cannot do is overlook what Dr. Bowles has said, how this was orchestrated, and we cannot overlook the fact that no comedian, and I can only say historically there's one comedian that spoke to cancer, but he spoke to cancer in John Wayne, and that how he praised how John Wayne kicked cancer's butt, you know, because John Wayne was that big hero. But that was done positive. No person ever made jokes about somebody with AIDS or nobody with about dying but with cancer, MS. So to go out, and this would be to go out and to start attacking somebody with an illness, that's trying to do the same thing how they brought in gangster rap and the BIT and all that type of stuff. Yeah. We have to look at that. The other thing that we have to look at is
make sure that we don't have to overemphasize
also the fact of everybody will say nonviolence. Black men have been so nonviolent that they now wear dresses. So the issue is how can we handle it differently? But I will never say that we should never defend ourselves, never defend our women, never defend our children. So that part is going to be what the media wants to emphasize, and blacks who have been conditioned, who have not fought for anything, for our children, for our women, to perpetuate that agenda. So that's not the issue. No, there has not been one peaceful revolution that brought about anything. Even the civil rights movement was bloody with the blood of our parents, our grandparents, our uncles and aunts, and there were deaths, even four children blown up in a bomb. So even the civil rights movement, the nonviolent movement, was inflicted with violence, and that brought that attention of the worldview to put pressure on America to do semi-civil rights.
Dr. Lee, this is Dr. Moncrief.
Okay.
I'd really like to get in here and just say this. Number one, it's not true. Comedians traditionally talk about anything that they want to talk about. That's their job. They talk about people with AIDS. They talk about people who's bald-headed. They talk about people who's short. They tell you, if you go to a comedy show, don't sit up front if you don't want the comedian to talk about you. Yes, it's on the monitor. Yes, some of the jokes are on the monitor. So what? So what? People say stuff to you every single day that you don't like. That doesn't give you the right to slap them. That's not being a man. You know, that's not defending your woman. Will Smith was sitting there giggling, and then the next minute he was not. Okay? There is no reason for him to walk up on Don, you talk. There's no reason for him to walk up on that stage and slap somebody and justify it. Not Howard, who's the coach of the University of Michigan basketball team. Those are bad examples. You're not defending anything. When a woman is physically attacked, then he has to physically defend her. But if she's sitting 6 and 12 feet away, no. It sends a bad message. It sends a message to our kids that that's the way you need to react. And that's why they end up in the juvenile detention centers, and that's how they end up getting life sentences for crimes that they commit as a child. We should not be sending that message under no circumstances to our kids. Thank you.
Could I enter in? Could I make a comment?
Yes, you may.
Can I be heard? Okay.
Yes, please.
So there are several observations that I'd like to make here, and it's something that seems to be a pernicious habit among us when we try to do community, you know, considerations and talks. We tend to get mired in.
Can you tell me who you are?
Oh, I'm so sorry. My name is Jared. God bless you all for the work that you're doing, right?
Okay,
it's a great thing, and it will always be a challenge, antagony will always be that thing that comes up. But what I want to do is kind of restructure where we are in this communication so that we see something that is a pernicious habit among us, right? We tend to get mired in these, you know, fruitless details, right? I think my personal philosophy is that we have lost the justification of black philosophy. Right. And I say that to say that we tend to latch on to sort of a captive mindset. We start looking back at the annals and the pains of history, but we never build upon those things to offer someone a way of seeing a way forward. They're mired in what is a captive mindset. So we've gone from these high-level talks so far down to parsing the details between two people who are not suffering the same way that these children who are supposed to be being represented are. You know what I mean? And it's not particularly a blame or a failure or anything. It's just a habit. And if we continue with that habit, we can't see forward because we're too busy looking back. We're too busy looking down at these myopic details that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean? We need to have a philosophy that they can then justify itself. When we start talking about things that offer strength, things that offer pathways outside of these things that we've been bounded by, then any exerted control is eliminated. It's gone. So if we want to look at some of the failures that we've made, we've relied on looking back at the past at what was done instead of innovating to meet the challenges of the day. That's something that's starting to be born in a lot of the things that we're doing. It's contemporary in a lot of ways, but it's still temporal because it's based on things that have happened in the past without really looking forward to seeing what can be considered for the future. When a philosophy justifies itself, there is no one who can throw frivolous things out like a word that has been harmful that can then knock it off its path. It has momentum. That momentum is the thing that we need. We need to find a way to transmit that momentum to our children. Who are the philosophers that we currently have? We have rappers who have the ability to reach into that quiet place that adolescents are in and give them a message that espouses some way to be, right? If we can reach in there and offer them a way of looking at a local black hero, you know, something like you doctors who are doing what you're doing and have that appreciation and that connection and that association and then have them build what they see for themselves in the future, then someone who comes on and tries to throw what is a planned idea to knock us off track will not have that ability because the strength will be in a conversation that is well beyond them.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. And Mr. Jared, can you tell us a little bit more about who you are?
Well, I am a black man who's been struggling to try to find a lot of different places in this world. I enjoy philosophy. When I was a child, I pursued physics. I'm currently I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force from Alabama, and I've gone through seeing all of these things, you know, and I try to contextualize it in a different way so that I am not making the same mistakes of our history, right? The one thing I can say that the giants whose shoulders I stand upon were really trying to give me was a way of seeing outside of the cage that they were trapped in. So I try to mold my life around that, and that's with any philosophy that I come across.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Okay, who's speaking? I hear someone speaking now.
Families and the damage that it does. And then they're also talking about
Okay, if this is not part of the conversation, I want to ask someone to please mute your phones. I don't know who you are. Dr. Long, you have something here.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that the initial caller, Zach, listening, will call back. And I appreciate the words of all the other presenters. And I just want to follow what presenter Jared just mentioned, and hopefully Zachary will understand how long we've been doing this show in this particular emphasis on saving our babies, in that we've already learned that we have to sit back and listen, and that the youth, they communicate at a whole different level than we may be accustomed to or that we may even appreciate. And as far as it relates to, you know, the elders as we've identified ourselves as, is that, you know, our youth, they understand the history. You know, we have to give them credit for their ability to tolerate what we haven't done. And in a session that I, a program that I participated in with Dr. Kynes and Dr. Moncrief, you know, I presented this scenario where it was all about me listening to some young men who identified themselves as gang members, and all these young men had in common the fact that they had felony murder as their charges as they're sitting down in JDF. But this one particular young man mentioned, and I had to listen to how he presented this scenario in terms of what he felt was wrong with his group of men or men that he identified as, stating particularly that he felt that 55% of his fellow gang members had issues with their, that only 5% is willing to talk about it. So with that being said, he agreed to do this this research, in which he agreed that four of his fellow men or his gang members, who all had the same charges, would allow him to pursue contacting his father after having been in JDF for 2.5 years without any contact from him. And what happened during that conversation, he was able to acknowledge to his fellow gang members that he had been lying to them, that in fact his father had been in his life. And when we reached his dad and he began this conversation in terms of his dad not coming to visit him, his father was very poised and patient, and then he just unloaded on his son as to the reason. And from his reasons, he had never taken his eyes off his son. He had actually taken his son out of the Detroit community to get away from all the violence that he had experienced and part of the care of that he was responsible for during the crack cocaine epidemic. Now, the beauty of that whole interaction was that these other young men who he had lied to about his father not being in his life, they were shocked. But they caught him in a bold-faced lie in terms of what he was telling them. Now, that triggered the other young men locating their dad, and it was the same scenario. So going back to what Dr. Moncrief said, no, black men are involved in their family's lives, even at the level of kids who are committing these horrendous crimes against each other. Black men have been there. His father had been in the gang, all those wars and all those sort of things, and he took his son out of that. His son came back into it. Those reasons are not completely understood. But again, I'm hoping that Zachary is listening, and the reason that this show today was structured such that the youth speak, because the youth do have some answers, and it's for us as older individuals, and whether you know you're a physician or whoever you are, is to sit back and really, really intently listen. That was a lesson I learned from these kids every day, how to listen. That's...
Yeah, Dr. Lee, you have the Parkers of Benton Harbor. You have some young man, a young woman, Benton Harbor, and Mrs. Parker on the line.
Okay, so their lines are open if they're on the line. Every 269 number is open. So,
Mother, can you start off and have your son and daughter? Parker, you can speak.
Hello.
Yes, thank you.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Tan.
Yeah, hello. Hello, young. Hello, how are you?
All right. I'm good.
Okay, so I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Tynes.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like you to just, I need you to make sure it's quiet in the back, tell the children, everybody's going to take a turn, and I'd like you to start off and just say who your name, what your name is, then your son comes in, and then we're going to have your daughter come in, and... a lot of noise.
That's not my background.
Okay. Somebody mute yourself. You're not speaking. So Mrs. Jesse Parker is going to speak. Their son's going to speak, and then the daughter's going to speak, because this is real life. This is who they are. I've been blessed to pastor with this family and to mentor. She's come through a hard environment, had to survive. She got blessed where one son went to prison. He's out. We have another her youngest son is going to speak tonight. He was headed towards prison, but now he's got his life right. He's trying to move forward again. But he was the daughter was so critically important in Benton Harbor, where they actually predicted 6 months in advance in Benton Harbor that the youth saw that the adults were the problem and were bad role models, that they were just smoking, drinking, and that the only thing that they felt the adults would fight for was weed. And this was way before that there was even weed on the agenda to be pushed for medical marijuana, any marijuana. They were living this, and they predicted it, and they talked about the Zanny bars, and they talked about Fortnite, which was for our time, which was Grand Theft Auto, how everybody was trying to imitate that. They're on the front lines of what reality that we're seeing. There was knowing that the people being killed and Carlos being shot by a friend, well, not a friend, but a cousin to a friend, when they were the Three Musketeers and the fourth came in and killed one of their brothers. So she's the authority. They're the experts because they're living this while we're talking about it. Mother Parker, I want you to go first, and then, like I said, I want my young man, my young warrior, my young leader to go next, and then I want my young queen to go next. I want you to tell us what you know, like you did before, what is real in your eyes, how we adults are doing, what we're focusing on, and what you think we need to do to help you and your generation, your reality, and you just talk. You don't have to try to talk no proper mess. Don't talk proper. Just be you and talk. We're going to follow and understand. But don't whiten up. Just tighten up. Just go ahead and speak. Mother Parker, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Jesse Parker. Yes, my son did 4 years in prison. And I have another one that's in prison right now. So, I'm surviving through all this situation. And it is what it is. God blessed me to get through a lot of most situations that I've been through. But we, as teenagers out here in the street, they can't do better than what they're doing at the moment. They're shooting and killing and all that. That needs to stop. And it'll be more better if they have things to do, like go to, games or something like that, and stay out the street so much and get rid of all the guns in the street. And my son is right here. About the child, the situation that's going on in the harbor.
Dr. Tyres, you know what to say. Do you like you did before, like when we were on the radio. You're talking to me now. So tell me what's up. Tell me what's going on. Talk to me. Just focus on me, okay?
All right.
To save our kids. How you save our kids? How
do
you save our kids?
You parents gotta save their kids. You can't save your kids.
No, come on. What you need, what we need to make sure your nieces, your nephews, and behind you, how we gonna help them. Come on. Talk to me. It's me and you right now. I know I'm not standing right next to you, but I want you to talk. Bet you at the crib, I want you to talk. We got adults who want to hear what you have to say. Like you spoke before, I need you to speak that truth, man. We listening. The minds are open, the hearts are open. I need you to come through for me again. Come on, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Tell me the reality. How can we stop this nonsense? First of all, why we had this nonsense, man? You told me the truth before about the Zanny bars, and you told me about the Fortnite. So tell me what's going on now. Why now? I got to bury some people. Why now, man? What's happening? Why we dying?
gang related. Gang relations. Be down from gang relations. And girls and stuff.
Yeah, I know they tagged my building.
Yeah. It's a lot of drug relations. Gangs and stuff.
All right, so you're saying what happened is now is trying to prove yourself to these girls and brothers are taking each other out?
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying girls, so now the girls are the gangsters?
Some girls
are
the gangsters.
By accident.
Yeah.
All right, so the women become the hard. Is that what you're telling me? Because the little girl just shot her boyfriend by accident and then shot herself.
Yeah.
That's what's coming down the road?
Yes.
Women are trying to be the gangsters. The women trying to be the thugs.
Yep. Or sometimes men make the women be thugs or stuff like that.
So sometimes... Yeah. So can you give me, this is Dr. Lee, and I thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Can you give me an example of how the women, the young ladies, are encouraging the young men to be thugs?
No. He's saying that the girls are now trying to become thugs, and the young men are trying to help the girls become thugs. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
Right,
so what
she's saying, she just wanted to know how that happened, and that's what she's asking you. You know, how's that going down? You know, how do young men, you know, how they pumping the girls up?
Weed, liquor.
Okay.
Pills and stuff.
Oh, okay. And it's all over the community.
Right. Yeah. All right. So I want you to come back. I want your sister down to speak a little bit, okay? I want you to come right back and give us some more, all right? Because you're doing good, man. You're doing good. All right, Queen. Hey, beautiful.
Hello.
Hey, beautiful. How you doing?
Mr. Time. I have a pastor in my house. He want to speak on that, too. His name Christopher Jenkins, and he want to get on and have a little say-so on that.
Yeah, that'd be fine, but the children are first. They come first. Yeah. They're the head. After you speak, the children are first. Field children are number one. But what we're talking about is saving our babies, saving our children, saving our teens, and it's coming up. And his input is going to be good. But right now, the queen is... It's for another queen, a little princess. I need her to...
I need another queen. Here, speak on it. You got
to
save your baby.
Speak on life, beautiful. Come on.
Save our kids.
Just remember, you're just talking to me. You're just telling me what's going on, what you see, all the craziness going on, and you just let me know, you know, what's going on. How is going on like you did before, and, you know, what's behind it. You know, right now your brother was telling me now that, you know, the girls now trying to become the gangsters, they trying to, you know, they trying to become hard, like on power, like on empire, you know, like they trying to, you know, they trying to rock like that. So what do you feel? Do you be getting kind of pressured like that? Were they trying to have you gangster up, thug up, or, you know? You know, what's going on? What kind of pressures you feeling right now? What they trying to do to the young, you know, what kind of pressure on the young ladies out there right now?
That they trying to impress their boyfriends or something?
Right. Okay, so they trying to impress their boyfriends. Hey, so tell me this, the old days it used to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, and alcohol. What is it now?
Weed, guns, gangs. Just trying to fit in with the crowd.
Do they got girl gangs now?
Yeah.
So it's boys and girl gangs. is like the fraternity and the sorority?
It's like more boy games. I mean, more girl games than boy games.
Okay. Okay, so the girls are trying to come hard now, huh?
Doctor, this is Dr.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how do they get started. Like, I know that you're saying
That's it, Dr. Lee. You just say short like that. Okay, so Dr. Lee, she just want to know how they get started with these girl gangs. Can you help us out?
They trying to make their money. They fit in with everything.
Oh, I don't know if you want to hear it.
Okay.
How are you trying to make that money?
You want me to log in?
By like selling weed or robbing people, selling drugs.
So you're saying that the young ladies now doing, are they stick-up artists now?
Yeah.
They done gone hard like that?
Yeah.
So what can you tell us? I would like for you to tell me, what can an adult do? I mean, let's say at home. What can
Dr. Lee? We got to keep finding the problem. This is all new stuff. No one has said this stuff that she just said before.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on out there? What else? So we got the girls' games. We got the stuff going on. We got them doing weed.
What's the problem?
Danny Barge anymore?
You said what? You want some fries?
You said what?
I said they're not doing Zanny bars anymore. They're not so it's just the weed.
Yeah, they doing everything. Every drug they got out here. Selling it.
What's out there now? Before, remember you told me that heroin was out there. Okay. All right, weed.
Weed, X pills, crack, pills, needles.
Okay, needles. What's in the needles?
Was walking down the street. Oh, I forgot all the meat. It's in the car. To the meat market. And this guy was walking down the street. He said, "You need some food stamps?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got 180 for 90. I said, "I'll take it."
Oh, you got the whole 190?
Mm-hmm. The whole 180.
The whole 180.
So I got some wings, some beef short ribs, some smoked turkey wings. Yeah, I guess I can. And that's the cost.
Okay. So what happened is it's all about surviving is what you're telling me. You're saying, so everything now is about trying to make some money to feed yourself, clothe yourself, because what
take
you
care
said,
our kids and do what we got to do.
I have a question. Where does it come from? I mean, is the drug, the weed? Where does it come from? How is
some
it
people grow it
in the neighborhood?
Some people grow it, or they got people they get it from, or get shipped in.
Get shipped in.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And so you have any idea, like, where some of it's been shipped in from?
It gets shipped in from California, L.A. It gets shipped in from anywhere where all the big-time dope dealers are.
What about Chicago?
Most definitely Chicago.
Okay.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Young lady, do you respect these cats? Do you respect these people who, you know what I'm saying, out here doing this? Or, like, have you figured, you know what I'm saying, that there's some disagreement that you have with what you're seeing?
No, I don't respect it. But at the same time, I got to respect the person, though.
Okay. So...
What's that like for you? What is that struggle like for you where, you know what I'm saying, you don't respect what they're doing,
But you got to respect the person because you don't want to be, you know what I'm saying, a conflict type person.
Hey, for everything, I
get it. I just move it.
Where does that put you?
Okay, what I don't want to do right here is to incriminate anyone. Okay,
I'm not. What I'm asking about is like, what does
it is short
to
question
be
in
that struggle? You feel me? Like, what does
right,
it mean in that struggle where you caught between having to do what you need to do and being stuck with, you know, those circumstances that way? Like, I'm pretty. She's telling us this,
hey,
so
stop,
I'm pretty
right,
sure
let,
she wants
answer, to answer, stop. Okay.
Right on.
Yeah,
so
Queen, you know, you heard what he was saying. What he was just saying is how, you know, surviving, how does that make you feel, you know, because, you know the game, you know, and those people who make, you know, doing they got to do, and how does that make you feel because you know it ain't right? That's what he's asking you.
I just move with the flow.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. You got another person there. You said, I want your brother to come back, but he said he got a young pastor there who wants to say something about what we're dealing with, what's real on the street. We're not dealing with nothing theoretical, emotional, or feelings. We want to deal with what's real life. So if the young pastor, if he's been living it, we hear what he got to say.
Yeah,
we're like to hear from pastor.
Yep. Sorry, young pastor. Here
you come. Did you hear what I said?
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
All right, did you hear what I just said?
No, I didn't get a chance. I was outside.
All right, so what I said is this. I set the context down. I said what we're dealing with is this. The program is about saving our babies, saving our children, saving our teens. And we're talking about the life situation, so giving us the insight of what's happening in their lives on the streets, not you summarizing, theorizing, but we just want to know what the real hard facts is that's happening in the real world, the undercurrent, so giving us some insight what they're going through, what they're living through.
Right, yeah. And I believe that's true. I used to in Jacksonville, Florida, where I'm from, we had a program called Don't Shoot. We used to go out to the community, see what kids need today. They need something to do. Been
right.
Over the car, nothing out there to do but to run around. So we open up a resource so that they can come to, like the Boys and Girls Club, it has a certain age to go. But it's children up to 18 and 19 that still need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like I talked to my little brothers and everything, and see what's going on in their lives, because it seems like peer pressure is the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Peer pressure, they pressuring it, and they trying to, you know, we as adults know that we don't have to fit in, but they trying to fit in with people. So whatever it is to fit in, they're going to do it. Games and everything, and they're tricked by the rap. The rappers really got them. Rap, guns, and everything else has got them. That's what they're attracted to. But the fact of the matter is, it's nothing for them to do in Ben Robert, and they need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we as the pastors and leaders need to get together in Benton Harbor and figure out what can we do to keep the children minds preoccupied.
All right, we're going right there. We're gonna shut that part down because we want to do the youth, because you know I'm a pastor also, and the issue is that we adults have failed the children. These young men and women that you're with right now, they're the ones who actually told the city of Benton Harbor everything that's going to happen before it happened. And we didn't listen, and we still haven't listened, and we're fighting for them. But I need my young prince back on. I need him to tell me where they getting the imagery from. Is rap music really being the image that's making us do what we're doing? Is these movies making us do what we do? What's making everybody, where the woman now, the young women now are trying to be the gangster, trying to be hard, trying to be slinging and trying to be busting caps. So where that image is coming from, I want Yeah.
Okay. So
where that's coming from?
Okay. Go ahead.
It's not just rap. It can come from the, like, their father too.
Who's gonna burn it down?
And some of the fathers who are coming back from C Block and stuff like that. Somebody they coming back bringing
they
that.
From, like, their prison, they appear like their father. They fresh out of prison and stuff like that. Like their big brothers and stuff.
Okay.
So they trying to bring prison culture back home. So they trying to establish the old style gangster stuff, like that TV show about the black man that was running Harlem and stuff like that. They trying to do stuff like that.
Uh huh. Keep that.
What
is
that? Bubsy or whatever. Before you were telling me they were trying to do Fortnite stuff, and it looked like, as I was told, they're trying to do Grand Theft Auto, and now they're trying to do that stuff like on TV about how they be gangstering it, you know, like Power and all that kind of stuff. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I certainly thank you all for sharing and being, you know, brave enough to, you know, to say these things and to let us know. But
here's one thing, Dr. Lee. Now, I want, if y'all can, y'all, it's y'all world. Y'all got the power, and we got the juice behind you to give you that power. What I heard Mama talk about, what we talked about before, we've been yelling about having stuff to do. So are we talking about going back, like doing that crack epidemic? Every kid have a job, so they're so busy working that they don't have time to be slinging crack. What are the things that is your world? Tell us what you want to happen. It's your world, and we're going to try to make it happen. I need everybody to take a turn. Mama, my prince, my queen, my young minister trying to out there. What do we need to do? But especially you guys, what do we need to do? We're listening. We got your juice. You got the power. And you're going to tell us, or we're going to put it down and make it happen. Tell me what you want. Let's make it happen. Where Mama at?
One second. I'm going to get it right now.
All right, no, go ahead. You speak, and then have your sister go get Mama.
What'd you say again?
What would you like to see? What would you like us to do?
No. Well, we got to say it like this. What we're doing is we're giving you the power. It's your world, and we got the juice behind you. We're going to make it happen. Tell us what you need to make happen.
Open a light.
No, everybody going to take a turn. You don't have to whisper. Well, we're going to put the juice behind you, so what you say is going to become word.
Open up something for the community to do.
All right.
Or open
so what
up,
time do you want this? After school, after work, what you want? We got to do all night long what you want. We're going to make it happen.
After school and work or before?
All right. What else you want? We got you. What you want? We're going to make it happen. What you want? All right, you want the after-school stuff to do, and so you be like I used to do back in the day. All right, what else do we want? All right, Queen, tell me what we need, what you want, what the girls need, what the women we need. Tell Mama, we got you. We got the power behind you. We can make it happen. We got the juice. We scrap. Tell me what we need. What else you want? Come on, we got to fill up the refrigerator, baby. What else can we do?
Mom.
Yeah. Hello.
Are you and your mom? I told what we're doing right now, Mom. We got the juice behind you. We got the strength behind you. So whatever you say we need to make happen so we can start fixing stuff, we're giving you the power to do that. Just tell us what we need to do. Tell us how we need to come strong.
Okay.
Yeah, your son done told us we got to go ahead and do that rec stuff again. When they get out of school, have a place to go. When they get off work, have a place to go. And you know, you kind of said that earlier. What else we need? We got to shut it down. We got to crush this. What else you need? We got you. We got you.
They have the kids in the world and get the education. They basically really need to go back to school, get more education. They need more education in the world. Because right now they're not really getting it. And then they need like something like a little skating ring they can go to or something like that, but don't bring the violence.
But moms, all right, now let's keep it real now. You got a school there, you got that superintendent there. So what education are you talking about? What you talking about?
Like,
you talking
like
about building them
education.
Up so they think they somebody? What you talking about?
Yep, they need all types of education. They need somebody to sit down and educate them in the right direction and study the wrong direction. They need to be directed the right direction. They're like getting themselves together, not being out here in the street smoking weed and drinking and partying all the time.
Right, the kids said they were copying that from the adults that they were seeing that were in
yep.
the school system, that were yep. coaches.
Yep, so, some coaches do that. You got some teachers does that, and then they go to school like they ain't did nothing, like they ain't doing nothing. They just in the school they're doing whatever, and out here they're doing whatever in front of our children, and that's not cool to do in front of our children. Parents should not do that in front of their children. Period. And they want
to
do it. All right,
you got the power. You tell us what to do. We're going to make it happen. We're going to change it. All right.
We need to stop the drugs. We need to stop the drugs. We need to stop the alcohol.
But you're going
to
need to tell us what you need to do. What you want us to do.
Yeah.
How you want us to shut it down. Because we're talking about money. What you want us to do.
You need to try to stop it from getting delivered here. And need to try to shut some of the drug houses down. Where our kids can leave the drugs alone so they won't be falling backwards. They need to go forward in life. And with them smoking and the drug dealers selling these kids, this weed and stuff, we need to stop it. We need to stop
it. Are they doing gummies to the kids too?
Yep, they're doing it all to the kids. Yeah, they're doing everything to the kids that they shouldn't be doing to the kids.
So you said now, Mom, I'm hearing you, you're saying the market now is the kids. The market's not really you anymore. They go on for the youngest. They go on for the youngest.
They go on for the young kids. They go on for the young kids. They go on for the teenagers and stuff like that. And that's how some of these parents not giving their kids the direct education that they need because they too focused. The kids are focused on their weed. More they fucking on their education. The weed has got a bad vibe on our children right today.
So should we, your son and daughter predicted several years ago about the weed, that the people going to fight for weed. So was that a bad thing that to bring that weed downtown?
Yes, it was. Yes, it's a bad thing to bring the weed in downtown because the kids are looking at that like, oh, Mom, oh, I seen you over there at that weed house. I seen you down there buying some weed and all that. That's a bad environment for our children.
So do we have a weed epidemic now? Is it an explosion more than before?
Yeah, it's a big explosion right now. It's real bad.
I know somebody's bringing gummies in from Chicago. They're bringing in a duffel bag.
Yep. Mm-hmm. People are doing too much. They're doing too much for our children to get a hold of. Guns, weed, and all of that.
Right. And the young man was telling me that they buy the guns in pieces and put it together.
Yep. You can buy it like that or you can buy them whole. They sell them in the streets, the different ones. They hire a lot of young these kids getting hold of these guns because these people out here selling them.
All right, that means that's something new they're bringing them in. Before they were mailing them in and putting them together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, I need your daughter back on the line.
Okay.
I need her to tell us. Okay, we're gonna work on what you just told us to do, right? About shutting it down, and your son said we need to start bringing back the rec programs like we used to do or have some kids place to go. And you were talking about that we need to teach the kids they somebody and to teach them, go ahead, that manner and respect kind of thing is what you kind of say. But I need you to be my queen. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me know. All right. Cool. Where my queen at? My little queen.
I'm here.
All right, queen. I want you to know right now you're the queen. We got you. We got the power behind you. Whatever you say is what we're going to do. Whatever you want, that's what we're going to make happen. We're coming with the fierceness. So whatever you say that we need to be doing to fix this with the children, to fix this with the kids, to fix this with the team, whatever on the street we're going to need to fix, you tell us what you see is wrong, and we're going to tell us what you want us to do to fix it, and you got all this coming behind you. You got this gang coming behind you. You got the Mary Lee gang behind you right now. You got doctors, lawyers, scientists, judges. You got all that on you right now. That's what that you that queen of Zynga. You coming with the fiercest. You bringing the war. Shoot, you queen. Hey, shoot, you the general. You Okoye on the Black Panther. Let's bring the fire. Let's bring the heat. Tell us what you want us to do. We're going to make it happen for you.
I think they should open a place for where kids, like where teens and kids can go. Like we can go out, sisters and brothers, and they open like after school.
I don't think Mom and Mike. I saw them in the van, but by all means.
Well, keep talking. Tell them to step away from the phone. We're hearing him over you. Okay.
Like we should open a building. But like where kids and teens can go and have fun after school, and they stay open until like it gets dark time where we know when we go home it's our bedtime before we can go to sleep for school. I feel like that's gonna be safe because we're gonna be in a building with other little kids, with our sisters and brothers and everything.
So you talk about like how I used to do over at the church where the young kids had to get home by 8, and then I kept it open to about 10, 11 for the older guys, so that way they would just play ball and then go home and chill and stay off the street. Are you saying have something late like that? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I got you on that. We can do that. You know, we did it before. What can we do to help the women become queens again, stop them from being hoes and BITs? Stop them from being gangsters and thugs? How can we shut that down?
I really don't got nothing for that one because, as I look at it, females gonna be females, and it's really nothing they can do. Nobody we can do about females being thugs because it's all about their boyfriends or who they hang around or who they be around. And nowadays, females not gonna stop messing with that person for nobody, not even their own mom, or some messing with their boyfriend for nobody. Or they probably will, or they probably not. Sometimes females will, sometimes females not, because they're in a predicament where they feel like they're going to be hurt or something.
So are they doing that to be hard? Are they trying to look for protection? Are they trying to find that father? Are they trying to find that husband? You know, what they looking for?
Probably try to fit in or look in love in the wrong way, look for love in the wrong way.
All right, because, you know, this, you remember, this, our ministry called Keep It Real. So is it all about the penis and the dollars?
To some female, it is. Females look in love for the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. So how about if we try to Do you think there's some room if we can come in and like you and let them know that they're queens and try to have them some jobs and some things to do and to show them that they can do better and, you know, that the world is still open to them, that they're not locked in? Do you think something like that can get in there and confuse this, you know, confuse something, let them know they got something else for them?
Yeah.
Do y'all feel that you have options? Do you feel like you have things that y'all could do? Do you feel, is there an escape? Do y'all feel like there's really an escape or there's really not an escape and you just got to survive?
Can you repeat that?
Do y'all see a way out? Do you see an escape or you just got to survive? Are there any doors open, any way out? Do y'all see anything like that?
If
So right now, no. So there's no way out. There's no doors open.
I'm not going to lie to you. Some females is really deep where they can't get pushed out, and some is. I can say that because I was one of the females that was just predicting me, looking for love in the wrong way. But some females is too deep up in it, or they scared to leave that boy because they probably get beat on or abused. That's what makes me how half this girl got messed up going through some things or looking for love in the wrong way because they ain't had no dad in their life or had no father figure. All
right. So you're talking about, do you think if we fight to bring the black family back, the husband, the wife, the children, do you think if we fight to bring that back, will that be like a safe place or the girls might can know that they can go to some place where they can be girls, be kids, and don't have to be gangster?
I think so.
But you kept saying the thing is a lack of love. I guess, what's his name, Principal Frederick Roseberg was saying that y'all not seeing no love. Y'all not seeing no love on the streets. Y'all ain't seeing no love coming down from us adults. Is that true? Is that how y'all see it or how they seeing it on the streets?
How I see it, yes, because when we do go to people and talk to them about stuff, they think half of the time you got a problem or they want to see you to therapy or inner care. Like, we don't have their full support. Or they'll tell our parents. Some kids do not want their parents to know that it's wrong from that person who they're talking to. And right now, that's the problem now because what we tell the adults, we feel like they should help us instead of telling our parents so we could do better for our parents.
Right. So the adults are trying to tell you from their point of view, and you're trying to tell them and for them to try to help you from your point of view. So the adults, like, they got all the answers.
Dr. Tynes, can you ask her what does love look like? What is the love that
No, you said it right there. What love look like?
It's two different ways of love. Love is like you might think you love that person, but then stuff starts changing. My point of view of love, I was in love, thought I was.
Yeah.
Had a baby, he left, we off and on, off and on, off and on. That's how it is nowadays, but nowadays females getting beat on, can't leave their relationship and think it's love and it's not love. Because if a dude loves you, he won't put his hands on you. That's what girls looking at. That's what girls want in a nigga. Like, nah, they want a hood nigga. They want a dope boy, a drug dealer. They're not looking at a smart dude who want to go to college and looking for me. Like, they want a drug dealer to be hard and be cool and think they fit in.
So you saying they're going back to that Beyonce thing? They want a roughneck, stuff like that?
Yes.
You said there was two kind of love. Can you tell me about the two? You said, what is two love?
Two love is just like love you. And...
Okay, so one love is a gangster love where you get beat down on. The other love is that real love that everybody's looking for.
Where
they treat you like a queen, make you feel like you everything.
Yes, and the other love is toxic, arguing, fighting.
But they going there because it's that hard love. Because they're going back to the old way of picking the thug. Have to be protected, so that you get love and protection, but you get beat up.
Oh,
or they don't have a choice.
I can say looking for love in the wrong way. And
he opened his big bag and
it's a female deal with that, it's either because of their private part or just to be cool and say that they got a thug nigga. Or they just
want to
be toxic
in everything. Yeah, see, but the thug nigga is supposed to be the protection nigga. So you can be with him, and that means no other nigga going to lay a hand on you or disrespect you. So you don't want nobody soft. You want somebody who can protect you. That's what it used to be. That's what it is now?
I don't know
if you yes. Now they want dudes to pull guns. I don't know. Pull a gun. They like a guy kill you or beat on you, keep you from your family, like have control of you. That's why no females out here got control of it except for these dudes do. They give these dudes their control, let the dudes manipulate their mind, control them, tell them what to do, what not to do. So it's going to be tough for girls to get out of the situation that we in because the dudes we go with and what we let them do.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Dr. Vaughn,
do you have any questions for the young lady? Just make sure our questions that she can follow you.
People in power?
I got a question. Does she feel like she has influence to try to change the mind of some of the females?
Yes. It's basically that a dude won't your whole intentions. If, like, they want to know that you really riding for them. Basically, you put your life on the line for that dude. Like, you going to die for that dude. That's what these dudes want nowadays. Or it's just all about money, using people. So it's relationships now is very difficult. Because a lot of females
like
and dudes lost their life.
You say it's like messed up loyalty?
Basically,
yes, right, because the phrase is that you want your B or your H to be loyal.
Yes, and the consequences that come with that, if you're not loyal, is either you get beat up, jumped, or you're going to die.
Dr. Boyles.
Bowles, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I heard. It's okay. I think he's talking to me. I'm listening intensely because in listening to what the young lady is saying, I think I may be hearing something a little different than what you're repeating back, Dr. Tyne.
I'm hearing the
young lady saying that the women are, and I'm going to put it in my phraseology and I'll put it back to the young lady, there's a level of abuse that women take in order to be in a relationship with the men in the particular setting that she's describing. That there's somehow, I don't know the culture, so I can't speak to it, but it's sounding like in order to say that's my man or my boyfriend or my baby's daddy, that the man is extracting a certain kind of required,
loyalty.
I guess you'd say, reverence or devotion. And I hear Dr. Tyne asking, what can we do to change it? And I'm thinking, I don't know that an outside force can really shake that up. I mean, that's a difficult thing. If the woman seeking love accepts a certain kind of behavior from the person she wants love from, it is extremely difficult from an outside force. And I say this having worked with domestic abuse situations, how many times that I would talk to a woman who had a broken jaw or repeated types of blowout fractures to her face, and at first she was all ready to leave and then reconcile and go back. And I'm wondering, and I put this out to my psychiatrist in the audience, as well as this young lady who's living it, is there something there like Stockholm syndrome, that there's something bigger than...
You went too far on the terminology.
It's something bigger than an after-school activity required, that there is a behavior that is a form of adaptation, that they're doing what they have to survive, and in that action, there is a certain amount of self-sacrifice. That's what I'm hearing. And when you were saying, what can we do, my question is, it appears some major changes in power struggle between the young people who are engaged in dating. I mean, that sounds bigger than an after-school activity to me.
No, Young Queen, if I'm right, Young Queen, what you're saying is that the women need protection. They need strength. They need to know they got somebody who loves them and going to protect them and going to care for them. And then they have to make that sacrifice because sometimes, is that what you know, in order to get that, that's what you have to settle for. Am I right about that or am I wrong?
Right.
Yeah. That's the trade-off.
Okay,
they want protection. They want strength. They don't want soft dude.
Right. Okay, the message, what's important here is, where did they get this message from? Okay, so we as adults, we are going to need to take on a different type of responsibility. And as adults, now I do want Dr. Long to address this, but now the drugs are in the street. Okay, how did the drugs really truly get in the street? We as adults, we know how, where they originated from. So then we got a responsibility as adults to clean up the street. How do we clean up the street? We have to get the big drug, the originators of the drug system, which is our white supremacist system here in this country and in Colombia and everywhere else that it's coming from, because we don't have the airplanes and the boats and all that to bring them in. This stuff was planted here. The guns were planted. The drugs were planted. Everything has been planted. Okay, we have a message that our children are receiving that's coming from our music, from the music industry. So what are we doing as adults to change that? So we're putting a lot of responsibility on the children, and they don't even know how they got there. So we have to deal with the root of the whole situation, period. As adults, we know what's been going on.
All right, you want Dr. Long to talk?
Yeah, I do want Dr. Long to talk. But this is what I need to help us as adults understand. So we've got to take some initiatives. We need to clean up our schools so that when our children go to school, as the mother said, so the children will get educated. We know what's needed there. Okay? So, Dr. Long.
This is Dr. Montrese. Before Dr. Long talks, though.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Montrese.
Can you just talk about love other than from the young men that they're trying to impress? How do we show love from our other family members and from the community? How can we show you that we love you?
It don't be the community. Like, sometimes for females, it be going on what's in a household. Like how they getting treated there, that they not showing they getting love from their parents, or they ain't got no daddy, they got a mom, and they not getting love from their mom, they getting hate from their mom, or they feel like they getting hate. That's how half of these females fall into the streets and fall for the wrong dude. And at that point, it's nothing nobody can do, because that girl gonna feel like that dude love her. Like she gonna feel like that dude love her to the world.
Let me say this. But on that point, but remember what you part that's being left out. Remember how we dealt with that is us being there. Me being there for you, me being there for your brothers, that in order to try to break that, there has to be somebody else there consistently where they can go to that loves them without question. Just don't judge them, but love them. Now, is does that power still work? I still got strength.
No.
If they're gonna be there, and prove that they're gonna be there, and they're not gonna forsake them or leave them. That they're gonna be there, you know, when they ups and downs.
Right. Yes. So we're talking about a mentoring program. I hear someone else want to say something.
Dr. Lawrence, what she's saying is that we don't be there. We haven't been there for them. They don't think we're gonna be there for them. Am I right,
right.
Queen?
Yeah, that's right. I understand that, and so we need mentoring programs. You know, we can bridge these gaps and establish these places for them to go, these safe places for them to go.
Can I ask a question? I want to ask this question, and I want to hear from Prince as well. What does loyalty mean to y'all? Like, what do you think of? How do you see loyalty?
Loyalty is, they want to know what loyalty means to you. They want to know what loyalty means to you.
Come on.
I can say, to me, loyalty means like when y'all keep 100 with each other. Ain't doing nothing or just being 100 each other, no lies or nothing. That's loyalty to me.
Okay, Dr. Longs?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Dr. Lee wanted you to respond to her.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate everything the young lady mentioned. You know, as I was listening, I was going through my charts from downtown and listening how people, you know, she was saying it's the drugs, it's the all those sort of things, whereas I'm looking at the data in my chart from Wayne County, and it's the sex trafficking. And who's doing the sex trafficking are adults. You know, our stats show that parents are putting their kids out there for sex trafficking. Grandmothers. All those things that we grew up with that had significant boundaries, all that slipped now. You have law enforcement.
Nowadays,
it's not nowadays. Guns. It's not drugs. It's sex trafficking right now. It's so intricate that
I
don't care if you're the greatest pediatrician in the world. You wouldn't know it. It is so strategic. Remember, we have the Prince of England as a part of it, Epstein as a part of it, and it trickles down in terms of selling guns and drugs is the least part of it. And I know every city is different, but look, it's adults who's doing this. It's adults who are promoting this. And obviously, kids are expendable. This little girl is about to go to adult jail at 16. Who I've interacted with over 3 years for a horrible crime she and another young person committed. I had to listen to the conversations with their family where it's extending from. It's gang mentality, Bloods, Crips, and all these other subsidiaries. They're all involved in it. It's very strategic. And although we're on our call and we're promoting different ways to combat it, it's more strategic than even we want to believe. So, again, but my premise is we listen to kids, particularly kids who have nothing to lose, kids who have taken other lives, kids who have taken their own lives. They'll tell you what the scenario is, but at the same time, they're going to reveal different members in the community that we don't want to consider are a part of it.
Speaking of venturing up, if we want
to it's even bigger than the churches may believe.
I know you're saying that
even some people in church have been indicted on these crimes. So, you know, my perspective is you have to listen. You do. You have to listen, and the youth will tell you the solutions.
Queen,
I was hoping tonight that the young man who had presented the spoken word, he had a very complex scenario he wanted to deal with, and he wanted to hear from his colleagues, his generation, how he should handle the situation. Unfortunately, we didn't get to him, and the person exactly who called in, who I wish would have called back, because exactly the word he used is what I hear all day, but I have to hear it in a different perspective before I try to correct it. And believe me, they want to be corrected.
Yeah, but can the queen address the issue about the sex? Queen, are you still there?
Yes.
Now, Dr. Long, he's a good brother. He's going to be down in Detroit, and he'd be, you know, brothers be up, he'd be locked up. He'd be taking care of them, helping them mentally, you know, deal. But he pointed out that a lot of this, is a family, you know, sometimes putting the young ladies out there where they got to use their body sometime to go sleep or to eat, or sometimes to bring in some money or to bring in some stamps or bring in something. Is that happening?
I don't know.
Where families are using their children for sex, to use sex to help pay the bills? Anything like that, you know, on the street?
I don't know about that. I don't know about parents putting their kids out to have sex. Parents put their kids out on the streets to get out the house. They'll do that.
You know, Dr. Stein, she may not know that. You know, she didn't live through the whole crack cocaine epidemic in the DMC where we had mothers, you know.
No, I was looking to see if that was something we're to deal with right now. Yeah. Like, you know, okay.
But she may not see it because it's so strategic. It can be subtle.
Yeah, so.
It can be
I feel the same. So I want to express my thankful. I want to thank the young people for being on tonight. And we are here to listen. We want to know. And we don't just want to know, but we want to help. And so I want to thank Mom and the family and all the princes and the king who all spoke tonight. And what I would like, because we are kind of winding down, we want to start with the mother. And then would like for everyone to give your final, like this is kind of like wrapping it up. We want the family to give their final statements, last, you know, final words that they'd like to say, you know, from each one if they could. And then we will come back to our panel and our hosts.
So, Queen, so line the family up, tell moms that what we're going to do is everybody in the house is going to say their final word. It's going to give us, try to drop your little nugget on us, just try to drop something on us as we get ready to end the show, okay? So tell moms, tell my young prince, you know, you the queen, and the young ministers, you know, in training, to come on and drop a pearl, and then we're going to, you know, as we get ready to wrap the show up, okay? Just let them know, you know, we just need them to drop that knowledge, drop that, you know, drop that on us. It's a short word, and just, you know, we're wrapping the show up. We just need something, you know. Just give us something.
You said what?
Where my mama at?
She coming. Hmm. Okay, she can give hers.
What I just said. Tell mom what. Just tell everybody what I just said.
I did.
So, mom, okay. Right, I just want you to drop a little knowledge, drop a little pearl. We're getting ready to wrap the show up, okay? I just want everybody in the house to just give us something to walk away with, right? Something to sleep on. All right, Mama.
She ain't here yet. She's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let her do her.
You
got
to get on the phone.
Well, just because you got the juvenile, it doesn't mean
yeah, cause we gotta respect the mama and then the children.
We need you, Mom.
Tell her I'm calling her. Tell her I'm calling her. Tell Mom Dr. Tyne's calling.
It's can be done by the court.
I'm sorry, what?
Moms, what, Mama cooking, where she at?
She ain't here yet. She coming.
Was she down the street? All right.
Uh-uh. Mm.
Hello?
All right, moms, yes. I need you to just drop, I want everybody in the house just to drop a little knowledge, a little pearl. We get ready to end the show, and I just want you to give us a little something-something from everybody. We'll give us a little something-something before we get off, okay? Just drop this, your final comment, you know, just giving us a little something. Everybody going to say just a little something before we get off this show, okay?
He was here all night writing up.
All right, it was nice meeting all of y'all tonight. It's a nice conversation. I hope this keep continuing to go on and go out to the community so we can get it all together.
Mm-hmm. All right, where are my young friends?
Here you go.
Come on.
Nice to meet y'all. And hope to get out to the community.
Thank you.
All right, Queen.
Yes. Like I said, it's something that we need to be done. You know, we talk about it, and I believe this should be something we should just put in motion. I understand that, you know, we got to get stuff together and run things together. But I love the conversation. I'm down with it. I'm going to support it. Do everything I can to support the movement. Because we're...
Amen. All right, Queen, you have the last word, then we're going to go to the elders and any other youth that's on.
It was nice meeting y'all, and I feel like y'all should open up something to help these kids in the streets.
And God bless everybody on the phone.
Okay. All right, we're just going to, the adults are just going to go ahead and talk now, and we're going to see if that other young person who did a spoken word, you may want to hear what he got to say, if he wants to throw a little rap right there, a little poem. If...
We have an appointment.
I don't need to be at an appointment.
Yep, Dr. Lee?
Okay, well, I appreciate you all so very much. Thank you. And we are to get things done. So thank you so much for joining us.
Y'all welcome.
I told you that.
Okay,
you interrupted me.
Great. So we're gonna go. We're gonna with Dr. Monty and I think we'll go with our okay, Dr. Marcy.
Yes. Yes, and if the young lady is still on, I really appreciate the conversation from you and your family. I don't know what you think love looks like outside of a relationship with a male. I hear you and your baby in the background, and I know you love your baby. Can you imagine, you know, that your mother loves you like you love your baby, and your mother has loved you and will continue to love you just like you love your baby? And that's what I wanted you to talk about. What does love look like outside of that relationship with a male partner? And to the panel, tonight has been one of my most frustrating nights, the most frustrating night that I have had with the show. I've just really felt like the adults were doing too much talking, and the kids were not doing enough talking, and I was so frustrated that, you know, I'm thinking if there's a part five, I can't come back for it because I want to hear the kids. I don't want to keep hearing us. So if the young lady could comment some more, I'd appreciate it. Otherwise, thank you guys.
space so the family was unable to recover the body from the funeral.
Okay, thank you so much. Our guest, Jared.
He did it in broad daylight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, do you have any final thoughts?
I did. I like what Queen gave us with the, you know, her definition of loyalty. Like she was saying that that's at the root of a lot of different things. It's like that philosophy of understanding what loyalty is and what loyalty means has gotten twisted somehow. You know, she was saying be 100, show up, you know, simple things that anybody can really do. But like we struggle with being stuck in the system ourselves, even where we can't look out and see forward as that path of, you know, those simple things, that little bit of loyalty is really all that's being asked. You know, if we can contextualize that, I think in a lot of ways we might make a lot of progress, even with things that we don't yet know about. You know, and that goes to what I was trying to, you know, say about the idea of having a philosophy with momentum, right? We can talk about the high-level things all day, but if we don't have something that moves and motivates us in a similar path, then we'll just be going in these multiple different directions, not really hearing how to get to the destination that we all think we're going to. You know what I mean? It's like we – so in my day, loyalty meant family, effectively just family. You know what I mean? It's blood. Even if I didn't really like that relative much, I had loyalty – to the fact that that was my family. It was a dependable thing that I always knew was there, right? You know, and we can hear what she's saying about the current struggles and what's going on out there. And, you know, Prince looking at his loyalties of whatever he had to not answer the question. But did we really contextualize that into the idea of how can we do that without necessarily making these huge sweeping moves and then saying, okay, that's all said and done? Can we invent something that motivates us to do those small things just because? That's the philosophy, in my opinion. Thank you for letting me speak, and God bless all of you.
Absolutely, and thank you for joining us tonight. Dr. Bowles.
Yes, thank you, boy.
Which my mute button wouldn't go on. I was listening, and the comment from the last speaker, about two episodes ago, I shared a story of a six-year-old girl asking me, what does a daddy do? And listening to this young lady tonight, it brings that back to mind, that I was shocked with the question, and I shared it with clergy and people that were both in the street and in the church and in the profession. And no one seemed as shocked or moved or disturbed as I was. But in hearing this young lady speak, I can see the six-year-old now would be about 16. How would she be able to concord a relationship with a young man? Because as she grew up, she pushed her little brother away when she played house or was doing anything that she considered family. She kept saying, no, no, you can't play. No, no, you don't do that. So it was a very poignant thing or painful thing or emotional for me to hear the young lady talk about the dynamics between a young man and a woman and how the young woman will take what somebody else would call abuse as long as she felt she had the man's attention. So I think that the mistakes that were made or the absence of addressing some issues some years ago are now coming back to haunt us as adults.
Hey, Thank you
so much. Error code 602 and your last four digits are 0207. I want to give you the floor if you haven't spoken. Who is 602, last four digits, 0207? Okay.
That's
so,
Jared. That's Jared.
Oh, okay.
I'll
okay,
read.
Okay.
Yeah. All thank
right.
you.
No problem. No problem. The line was hand was up. Okay, Dr. Long.
That's a good discussion tonight. Again, I was hoping that one of our previous spoken word young men would have been able to express his issues. You know, the topic, saving our babies, you know, when I try to internalize what that means, you know, I have to go from infancy all the way to young adulthood. And you can look at all the different milestones that are supposed to be accomplished, even during the first year of life, trust versus mistrust, bonding, creating a sense of autonomy versus shame and doubt in our childhood, all the way up to adolescence, you know, in terms of, from my perspective, is what I see downtown. And even in my private office, you know, young people are trying to discover themselves, find themselves, whether it's sexually, et cetera. And at the end of the day, based on various environments where I'm engaging, whether it's DHS, CPS, circuit court, families trying to be reunited with family, meaning that I'm interviewing fathers, mothers, et cetera, kids who are victims of abuse, neglect, and even in the criminal justice system, juvenile justice system. At the end of the day, it does start with family. And the conclusion is that, you know, we've been very, very neglectful of our youth and our families. And from my perspective, that's where it has to begin. It's not hopeless. And I think the solutions are within the minds of some of these kids who are in the epitome of despair, meaning, you know, they're in systems where they really don't see any hope. But even with that, you know, they'll give you some suggestions. And, you know, I'm glad everyone spoke, gave their input tonight, and I think it's all worthwhile, which, you know, when we get heated and things like that, even the young man who called in, I really, really wish you would have stayed on the line, because just think if you can turn all that energy that he has, even though it's misdirected or say it's not completely insightful, then, you know, then that's some power there. And fortunately or unfortunately, that's what I'm, that's what I encounter every day. These kids have enormous potential. They just don't, you know, they just don't see it, or they've never been told that they have all this enormous potential. And as we all know, they get all this positive affirmation in the streets, and it's deadly. But again, a good show. I appreciate everybody's comments, and, let's keep doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Time, thank you for bringing on family. But I guess before this, if there's anyone who's on the line who wants to speak and you haven't, tap one of your phones now, and then we will make sure you speak. I do see numbers here. And, okay, so Dr. Tynes, if you would go ahead and wrap us up for tonight. And I want to thank you for bringing the family. And, you know, this has been very, very helpful and appreciative. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I have to thank the family. They're still listening. And for them, you know, they don't know this was a major event that they did. They don't know that they are leaders. And they're like saviors for this generation. What I learned tonight, you know, just doing the short questions, and there was things that were said that I didn't know anything about that was happening in this culture, in this mindset. But all of that, I do follow, all of that first came through the movie, through the media, and we have, you know, responded to it. All of that, I had to deal with that several years ago. When Destiny Child came out, when I won a Roughneck and Thug, stuff like that, that became the fad, that became the culture, and I had to deal with that. And now on these TV shows, black shows that are written by these white directors, that is actually, if you go look at some of those shows, that's what is actually being done on the streets now. And the fact is that the women now have been compromised, the young girls, that it's like, okay, what does love look like? And what does, you know, a daddy do? So it was really enlightening to me. It helped open my eyes and it, you know, breaking the heart. I was just speaking their words about being abandoned and summarizing it. But, you know, tonight, you know, it's really hit me to the core because that it's the lack of love. They're not love. They don't feel love. They don't see love. They don't see us as people who have the time to take to be there to show them love. Now, they will tell you that for them that I've been there and for this brother, I've been there through the ice, through the storm, stormy weather, rain, the shine, I would be there. And for others, and I think that's, you know, we're going to have to do that to show them that we are loyal, that we are able to be trustworthy, to be there for them. And I learned is that short phrases is like texting. That's how we do the questions. You know, you do the short text question, and I'm really impressed with the communication that happened tonight. And solutions, they've told us that what we got to do is they have to have a place to go. Once school is done, they have to have a place to go. And what they're saying is that they have a place to go where there are people like us who love them and care about them and want to uplift them, to let them know they're kings, let them know they're queens, let them know they're princesses, let them know that they are a prince, that they're royalty. That's what mom was trying to tell you. When they go to school like that, not what they've seen, the people drinking, smoking, and sexing and stuff like that, that's the models that they see. So we have to really look at that. The mm-hmm. thing that we have to also face is that Governor Blanchard shut down Young Boys Incorporated by just flooding Michigan with jobs. But we don't have communities where we can hire our own young people, you know. So we have to find some type of – and the kids gave up – they gave up $1,000 a week jobs just to do summer jobs during that time of Blanchard. So it's not about the money. It's, we got to do something to flood, to give them a sanctuary, to give them time to be around some people who are positive. And we got to check ourselves when we're doing that negative gangster niggerish stuff. We just got to call our people out and stop exposing them to that. To protect them, and then we got to let the women know that a man is supposed to caress you, not hit you, you know. So, man, and so we got to really scratch our heads on that one to be able to now that the women are affected. At first they went after the boys, and now they went after the girls. So we have our work cut out for us. You know, we have to restore the queenship back to our young ladies who are now consider them thugs. You know, a young lady told me, when sex, she'd be busting a nut. And so we've let this European society, European media, you know, injure our children, and we got to find a way to save them and to get them back. And this was the first time that we actually opened up the womb and saw what type of disease was inside the womb, you know. And so now doctors, now thinkers, now philosophers, now educators, we got to scratch our heads and figure out how do we save our babies. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so very much. I want to thank all of you. And definitely, that's what we're working on. And, again, for me, yes, we must listen. We have to listen to the children. We have to listen to our babies and to be of any at all in their lives. And but we have to go much further, and we have to deal with the root of it. We are the adults, and we have sat back for too long and allowed the media allow others. I mean, we've known for how many years? For years and years and years, you know, where the drugs are coming from. So we do need to stand up, and we do need to change our community. And we're the only ones who can do it. We're the only ones who can give our children a different life. And it starts with our economic development. And we have to bring in centers, and we have to start policing our own communities and taking care of our own babies. Again, I thank you. I love you all.
And Dr. Lee, I have to say one painful thing. One of the things that I just realized, some of the things that she said are in the movies that Tyler Perry, black little sitcom shows, are actually have those storylines and those behaviors. So even if we black professionals who have movies and those rights, that we cannot continue those imageries of stereotypes, because those, what she just said now, just the lightning just flashed. I remember now some of these shows that I won't watch or support that our own Tyler Perry is doing to be able to generate, you know, money, so we can't compromise anymore. Our children are hurting, and we need to start calling out these negative shows. And those mm-hmm. who have power and position, they got to start giving us some positive shows for our kids to see. You know, we this is a time where we need some Claire Huxtables and some Lee Huxtables, because they don't have
right.
nothing else. All right. Thank you, Dr. Lee. I'm sorry.
And thank you. God bless you all. Until next week, this is Dr. Mary Lee. Stay safe and well. I love you all.
Peace to the ancestors. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob us, slang. Now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes, cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodents still running about.